You might say the 115th Congress is off to a spirited start. If democracy has a reputation for being messy, most of the attention went to the short-lived attempt to reorganize the House Ethics Office, a creature that doesn't even exist in the Senate. For what this might bode for the rest of the session, we turn to David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call. And David, that was a strange gambit, putting forth of that notion of reorganizing the Ethics Office, then pulling back. What does it say about what's going to happen next?
Well, I think what it says is the rebellious streak inside the ranks of the House Republicans has not gotten any thinner or less powerful. It is incorrect to say that this was a leadership-driven thing. This was not something that Paul Ryan and his leadership team wanted to do. In fact, they thought it was a bad idea. Certainly, they thought it was a bad idea as a matter of politics, if not as a matter of policy. There are many people who believe that this semi-independent office of congressional ethics needs to be changed, needs some tweaking, that it's lost its way, that it's got too much power. But the leadership certainly didn't think that it was a good idea to make this the headline on the first day. But the rebels did, and they won the vote inside the Republican conference. And then they were countered by, you know, the most powerful new rebel in town, Donald Trump. When he comes to town, he's sort of got that rebellious outsider streak of his own. And he said, no, this is a terrible idea. And he and the leadership were actually on the same page in going against the rebels. They won this round. But I think if that's a dynamic we're going to see time and time again, the rebels will be trying to test the limits. They'll be trying to see if Trump is with them or against them. And my guess is that sometimes he will be with them, but in this case, he was against them.
Because in his tweet, he didn't say that it's necessarily a bad idea to reform that office. He just
said
maybe now's not the time to do it.
Things to worry about. And you know, I think it isn't partisan or taking a side to say, he's right. I mean, the election was not about reforming the internal police process of Congress. The election was about many, many other things, and Donald Trump was making a relatively obvious political point that it doesn't take that somebody who's coming in from the outside can, I think, understand, which is this is really a terrible way to spend your opening day political capital when there are so many other things that the voters wanted talked about.
And I guess it's fair to say the Democrats have tried the same thing on reforming that office earlier. And so
very true. There is bipartisan. I mean, nobody likes to be policed. Republicans don't like being policed any more than Democrats do, and vice versa. And it was actually a few years ago, the last time there was an effort to clip this office, it was led by a prominent Democrat. So yes, there's bipartisan frustration with this. Some of it is just, not wanting to have oversight, sort of a natural inclination to want to be left free to do what you want to do. And some of it is a legitimate thing about due process and legal fees. And I mean, there are legitimate gripes with this thing.
So what does it say about the future then, that there will be this continued tension within the Republican Party? It's almost like there are three parties operating in Congress.
Well, at least three, right? I mean, there is the House Republican leadership, and then there are the House Republican rebels. There are the Senate Republicans who don't really have that schism. Mitch McConnell is running a relatively tight ship and has a coalition behind him that is pretty unified. And then you have the incoming Trump administration. The closest analogy, and it's not even all that close an analogy, would be 20 years ago when Newt Gingrich and the rebels came to town, took over the House for the first time in 40 years. Moved this thing called the Contract with America, which longtime listeners may remember, moved it very fast, very forcefully, went over to the Senate where Bob Dole said, wait, not so fast. That's not, we are not the same rebels that you are, and basically put many of the Contract with America things on a high shelf. So a similar dynamic this time with the added, but not just a straight line, it's a triangle with Trump in the middle, and how and which picks, which things he's going to pick to be with who, way up in the air.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. And one thing they did do in the rules package yesterday, the House, was invoke something called the Holman Rule, which goes back to the 19th century, but it hasn't been in place since about the mid-1980s. And that really has a big effect, or could, on federal agencies directly.
That's exactly right. So the Holman Rule, and to be honest, I don't know who Holman was. I got to look that one up. Because I've been around for more than 20 years, and this was before my time, 30 years now, and this is before my time. But what it says is that it allows amendments on spending bills, on appropriations bills, to to not only to cut agency spending, but even more importantly or more unusually, to reduce the number of employees at an agency or to cut salaries at an agency. Generally, you're not allowed to make such policies on appropriations bills. Appropriations bills are supposed to be about appropriating, spending money, and setting policy through the spending of money, through rewarding and not rewarding different agencies or programs, but not actually go in and tinker with the way an agency is managed. This creates an exception to that. It could be a very powerful tool. Presumably, the Republicans would not have revived it after 35 years in the refrigerator unless they wanted to use it. There is still a eagerness on the part of both of the all three of the groups we just discussed in Congress, the two groups in the House Republicans, the leadership and the rebels, and the Senate Republicans, to cut spending, to trim the size of government. Donald Trump says he is down with that in general, but again, he has not picked, really said too much specifically about which agencies he wants to cut and how deeply.
It sounds like this rule could be used, say, I'm just making this one up, but suppose you don't like what the EPA has been doing with water, and there's a lot of opposition, you know, to their water activities and their water rules.
That's exactly, you could go after that program.
That's
a great, for instance, and probably, right, we're making it up, but we're making it up, I think, only for a short while. I think that's exactly the kind of thing we're going to see, is that Republicans who may be having a hard time with their efforts to shape policy in a deregulatory way could, reduce the salaries of the clean water regulators at the EPA so much that nobody wants to work there anymore.
I wonder if that's going to turn out to be constitutional because, for example, like Supreme Court justices may not have their salaries reduced while they're in office. You can kick them out for malfeasance under the Constitution, but you can't change their salaries.
That is true. I am not. That's a great question. I'm not sure whether that is the constitutional provision, whether it applies only to the political people in the government or to the civil servants as well. I'm not sure.
All right. So what comes next? They've got Paul Ryan has been elected. And most of this activity was in the House the other day.
Paul Ryan. Right. Paul Ryan reelected. Chuck, the new election formalized was the election of Chuck Schumer of New York as the new leader for the Senate Democrats, because Harry Reid is retired. He is obviously a very pivotal figure. How and when he decides that the Democrats should throw up resistance to the Republican agenda is one of the top stories everybody's watching. He signaled on opening day that he was not going to compromise for compromise's sake, that yes, the voters want bipartisanship and compromise, and that he's willing to do that if it's quote within democratic principles, which is a wide open way of saying he's going to resist at least as often as he doesn't. The first big thing that we're going to see a fight on almost surely will be the nomination of Antonin Scalia's replacement to the Supreme Court. We don't know exactly when that's going to come. We assume it's going to be very, very soon after the inauguration. That is one of the few places where the only nominee left where a filibuster is allowed. Some listeners will remember that the Democrats themselves did away with the filibuster for all nominees except to the Supreme Court a couple of years ago. And now that they are in the minority and Donald Trump is the president, that means they can't stop any of his nominees except the Supreme Court with a filibuster. So that's going to be the one to watch.
So it could be 8 members for a long time to come.
It could be 8 members for a long time to come. It really could. And, as a result, this term at the Supreme Court is going to be one of the most one of the least memorable in terms of landmark cases. And there is no guarantee that that's going to change anytime soon.
David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be interesting.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.